Welcome to the BFA Life Podcast. Join us as we explore our school's global impact, get to know the families we serve, and catch a glimpse of God at work. Welcome to another episode. I am Alisa. I work here at BFA in the Communications Department alongside my coworker and co-host, Josh. We are excited to have you here for another episode. On this episode, you will get to hear a little bit from one of our staff members who has been here for over 30 years. She has been such a valuable part of our community and has such a unique perspective because she's been here so long. We're excited to share this conversation. So without further ado, let's get going. We are so excited to have the famous Miss Jill Young with us today. Jill, can you just share a little bit about how you came to BFA? And yeah, we'll start there.
What has kept you here?
Yeah.
Okay. Since 1993, is it?
Yeah, I came 93, 94 school year. Yeah, straight out of, I was 2 years out of university when I came. So I was pretty green. All right, so how did I get here? So I came to BFA in the days when we didn't have internet. And so I had to fill out a paper application. And there was a brochure out there that said you had to have 2 years teaching experience before you came here. And I was at Christian College, went to Grace College in Indiana. And as part of our last semester of college, we were doing applications. And they encouraged us to apply to a Christian place. And I was always planning to go back to my small town high school to teach. And I thought this was a safe bet because I have no teaching experience. So I applied to BFA and I was pretty sure I wouldn't get accepted. But I ended up, they said, yes, please come. So here I am. I came because my roommate was an MK. And so that her family was looking at us change, and they were in Haiti at that time. And they were thinking about coming here as he was going to be the director of schools. And they ended up other places, but I applied at the same time just because I thought it would be an interesting place to come. So I didn't know much about MK education or BFA in general before I came here. And yeah, and what's kept me here is the students over and over again.
I was going to say, coming, like, not really knowing about this place, and then here you still are. Yeah. Like, what has, so it's been the students, huh?
Yeah, I just love the, I love the personal reaction, interaction that you can have with students here. I did some teaching 2 years before I came in the States, and it was just a very cold feeling. And there was a lot of things you weren't allowed to talk about, and there's a lot of restrictions. And so I just love that fact that here that we can, we play together, and we study together, and we work together. And so there's the family aspect of it is what keeps me here.
Wow.
So you said you didn't know much about MK education prior. What are some things you've learned now that you have fully immersed your life into it?
Yeah, the only MK school I thought out there was Faith Academy in the Philippines. I thought all MKs went to Faith Academy. But yeah, since being here, they're the same as normal teenagers. I think a lot of times we try to like, oh, you're an MK. Special aura. And so that kind of came with that misunderstanding of like what the Christian culture would be like here. And so, yeah, I've learned a lot about different ministries. I didn't know a lot about like ministries in close countries before I came here. And I didn't know a lot about the struggles that missionaries have just trying to find a good education for their students.
If you think about BFA from a 30,000 foot view, what has drastically changed? Like, all-encompassing. And what has stayed the same at BFA as well?
I think some of the things that we've gone from like a mom-and-pop school, like a really, really tight. When I first came here, we could load everybody up in the vans and head to Basel very easily. And so like things were like a lot looser as far as expectations for boundaries. And so I miss some of those days because a lot of the activities we did were really fun. But I think we've done a good job of we've grown and been able to add programs that service a lot more students. So expanding our sports, our arts departments, because we've grown and we've brought in more staff. Some of the things that haven't changed, it's still really hard to get staff. And so like we struggle over and over again with retaining teachers. When I came, there was a lot more stability. Because it was the old Mennonite families that they were just, they were here and they plowed in, and they stayed. But we get a lot more people just kind of experimenting with missions now. And it's harder. I think it's really hard for the kids to have that constant rotating door of teachers. So I think we've become less legalistic in my time here. sometimes when I hear the kids complain about something, I'm like, let me tell you stories about the old days, about the dress code, or the old days about how things were, like, how punishments were dealt with. And I think we've become a lot more merciful and gracious in how we deal with things, and a little bit more respectful to the kids and how we deal with things.
Yeah, that's an encouragement for sure. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we need people like you, and there's others like the Olsons and other families who have been through decades of BFA who can speak to the growth and it be an encouragement and a reminder, and also speak to the ways that's like, hey, we also had something going well then. And like, how do we tap into that in 2024? Like, what would that look like? Right. I think that's essential because this place especially is so transient. So, yeah.
I have a question. You can go into as much detail as you want. Are there any students, and they can remain nameless if you'd like, where it was like a really, because that's what's kept you here, right? The students.
Yeah.
What's an example of a story, maybe of what their parents did, where they came from, how you saw them grow during their time here, what they're doing now? Like, are there any of those that you kind of hold on to as like, wow, this is the impact that I got to have a small part in during their time here at BFA? Is there anything you can share with us about that?
I think some of the stories that are the most impactful for me are when we see a student who comes from a really demoralizing educational background, and to see them, you know, graduate with honors. So I've had several experiences. I teach advanced placement literature. This year I'm teaching all of the seniors, so I have both levels. But sometimes my favorite students to work with are the ones that come in and they're really struggling educationally, and how to do that one-on-one. And I've had some really great experiences, and those are the ones I hang on to, of like, I can remember these students who, when they first came to us, they could barely speak English, or they had been told in their national school that they were stupid. And then to see them to flourish and to grow into just a really solid young man or young woman in Christ. And they go on, and like, and they come back and they say, you know, I'm a doctor at something. You're like, whoa, okay, that's amazing. Way to go. So,
One thing I love that I get to do is alumni tours from time to time. And I've seen a few where we're walking in the hall and they see you and they get so excited and they're like, Miss Young, do you remember me? And you're like, yes, I do. What has that been like, keeping up with alumni? Like, has that been something that's been possible, or what's that look like?
Okay. So I Facebook stalk them. That's my, the only reason I really use my Facebook account is to like, see, like, it's always exciting to see, like, oh, they're having a baby, or they're getting married, or, and so that's been fun to do. My problem is I've had so many students come through, and there's a couple of these alumni tours where I'm like, oh, I know the face, but I can't put the name. It makes my heart hurt when I have to ask them what their name is. Oh. So I wish they would like tell me like, hey, Miss Young, it's so-and-so. Because I'm like going, because sometimes I can't like, remember my kids' names after Christmas break. But when we look at that, like, it's exciting to see, and especially when they come back, like, this is like this weird thing that they come back with their spouse, or they bring their kids back because they want them to see BFA. And I'm going, who in America takes their kids back to their high school to say, this is my high school? Right. But it's fun. And I'm excited to be one of these people who's still here.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
So alumni, introduce yourselves, because I forget. And we had that conversation in class. But this whole idea of, it's exciting. And I'm not very good at keeping up with alumni. Like, I've gone to some reunions. I'm just not really good at like letter writing and stuff like that too, but I do love really when I bump into alumni places, it's really fun to have conversations.
Well, I can say from our point of view as communications, and even just seeing the results of the surveys that happened last year, like, you have made an impact, and they remember you, and I know you love them so much, even if it's like, remind me what year and what class you took. So I think that's really neat.
I know. The only thing they ever remember is, we are cows. Like,
yeah.
Okay, there's more to my class than that you are cows. So they'll understand.
Even when I was your student, there was the whole cow thing going on. Yeah.
Okay, so so you, like we said, you teach senior English, particularly AP Lit. What, is there a particular part of the year, like assignment or a section that you really enjoy teaching?
Yes, I really enjoy. We're getting ready to start the romantics in English 12. And I haven't been able to teach this unit for a long time because we don't do it in AP Lit. So I've been over there like making photocopies and getting ready. I like doing literature that's very applicable to the students. Mm-hmm. And so the poetry is old-fashioned stuff, but the concepts and the lifestyle are very modern. So I really like those kind of pieces. Teach the Poisonwood Bible every year to my AP class right now.
Yes.
And they really enjoy that. I'm always looking for literature that has some kind of connection with this transient life we live.
Hmm.
Or what does it mean to be heading out soon on your own in your Christian life? Hmm. So looking at in the Victorian period, we do a poem that's talk about doubts and how it's important to doubt your faith, to grow your faith. And so, and hopefully by the time I get to that, the kids are, they're comfortable enough that they can actually have good conversations about that.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it look like to do that in a Christian bubble like BFA?
That's awesome.
Just a personal story time.
Had Miss Young as a teacher.
You were one of my favorite teachers. I remember getting to university and being on the freshman floor and our first assignment starting, you know, like a couple weeks into college. And all of the other freshman guys on my floor were freaking out with how much writing they had to do, like papers. And I realized I was never top of my class in high school, and I wasn't top of my class in university either. But I knew how to sit down and write a paper. Like, just get it all out, structure it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you taught me how to do that, and thank you. I know I've said this before to you, like when we first came back to work here 8 years ago. But I've had this conversation with every senior class since I've been back here to serve. I'm like, yeah, how's it going? You know, relationships. You know, senior year is such a big thing at BFA. And you always come up, oh, Miss Young's class, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, Miss Young saved my life. She is. And they're like, yeah, I know. She is going to, like, she's teaching me so much and feel so prepared for college. And so, yeah, that's just personal. Like, thank you, Miss Young.
You're welcome.
You are awesome. Thanks for being here.
Well, I was, because part of my other job is I'm the department chair for English.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell my English department that is the one gift that we can give every BFA student.
Hmm.
Like, there's so many things that are going to happen in the transition,
mm-hmm.
but there are certain things that you can control. And so, like, I always tell my English teachers, like, if we don't teach them anything else, what we are teaching them is how to write a paper,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll be ahead in university and comfortable in university.
Yep.
So that's been a really
yep.
important goal. So I'm glad it worked for you.
It worked for me. Yeah.
What other things, because you mentioned being, well, chair of the English department for mm-hmm. sure is still educational, but what other areas of your BFA experience and just living in Condern have you been involved with?
Whew, when I first came, I was jet lagged. And they said, what did you do in high school and college? And I said, oh, I played basketball and worked on the newspaper. And my first year at BFA, I got assigned school newspaper and high school basketball coach. I'm like going, I've never coached basketball before. So I did coach girls basketball for, I was assistant coach for quite a while. And then I was head coach for 1 year. And I realized very quickly that's not my gifting.
Mm-hmm.
When I was assistant coach, I practiced with them and washed the uniforms and took stats.
Yeah.
So I was a glorified
Great
manager.
Place.
And then, mm-hmm. yeah, when I got to head coach, that was not my thing. And school newspaper wasn't my thing either. But I've done dorms hubbing. I was at HBR. I did Stork and Palm Garden for the longest time.
Oh, I love that.
I don't have a car. So, like, Palm Garden was more the place I would go to because it's in town.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done a lot of other things.
Yeah.
You
do your one teaching so well. So, and that is. I mean, that's what you're here to do. So, and obviously all of us, no matter what role we have or extra activity we do, like it's about those relationships with students and those are just avenues in some ways. So,
mm-hmm.
and I also found it was kind of hard when, I was in the dorm, it creates a really strange mix in the classroom sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And so, when I got to the point where I needed more sleep, I decided I miss being in the dorm, and I really wish the kids would invite me to dinner, because I tell them, they say, are you going to come to our dorm? I'm like, I can't come unless you invite me.
Yep.
So you need to invite me for dinner sometime. And I saw, like, last week of school, I'll get invitations. I'm like, I've been here all year. Aww. You could have invited me. But I found things changed for better in my classroom once I stepped away from the dorm.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have that, like, I know you still call me Miss Young in the dorm.
Yeah.
But trying to create, I think we have a it's hard for our kids sometimes.
Yeah.
Because the boundaries get so mixed and they don't know, like, am I supposed to behave this way or am I supposed to behave that way? And why is there two different ways I have to interact with you? So for me, it's better that I'm just Miss Young.
That's worked well. Yeah.
I've had a couple come back and, hey, Jill. I'm like, no.
Nope. Yeah, I like that.
When you come back to BFA to see us, you can call me Jill. But
Yes, exactly. Yeah. When you're alumni. Yeah.
Not in the classroom.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
That is one of the funny, unique things about BFA. It's always been that way. All of the hats that we wear and just the balance of managing each of those types of relationships, whether you're small group leader one day and then the next day you're AP Lit teacher and then whatever it is. That's something that I had to get used to having been a student and now an adult, like dealing with, oh, I can't call them bro and like, I don't know, just like.
Yeah.
What's always funny when
that's alumni, part of growing up too, but
when alumni come back and work on staff, like you and Nathan transition pretty quickly, but I still have alumni who work with BFA who still call me Miss Young.
Yeah.
I'm like, going, we're peers now, you can call me Jill. No,
you're like 30 some years old now.
You don't have to call me Miss Young anymore. But,
It's safer for sure. Oh, I love that. Obviously it's really hard to think of probably one memory in 31 years of teaching at BFA, but do you have some memories either, well, first in the classroom, maybe that have brought you joy or just are on the mind? And then maybe one that's been, in outside the classroom.
I got it outside the classroom. My first or second year here, I had a student who realized our birthday was the same day.
Aww.
And so, you know, the dorms do these big birthday dinners. Yeah. So he's like, do you want to come to my birthday dinner at the dorm? I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. So I went. There was a table in the corner with candles on it. So it was like a candlelight dinner for two. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Strange, yeah.
So that was really strange. And then the next year I was sick on my birthday. And so I'm home in bed, like, chipping. There's a knock on the door.
Oh, sweet.
And he brought me the dinner from the dorm. I'm like, well, I know you can't come in. But that started a tradition, though, of then I started looking for students who have my birthday.
Yeah.
And we would do, like, hot lunch on my birthday. And I'd make them wear their little hats and stuff like that. I haven't done it. I need to check and see if there's any now. Because when I went on a home assignment year, I kind of lost my last one, graduated.
Okay.
And I had to like send pizza from America. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Or like, I had someone go pick it up for the donor. I'm like, well, you have to get this because it's a senior, it's a tradition.
Oh,
it's a senior year. He's been getting it since grade 9. So
that's really sweet.
That's really cool.
Can I ask, when is your birthday?
November 30th.
30th. Okay. I'll keep an ear out for students.
Sometimes they're like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I'm like, you're getting pizza. Or
celebrate. Yeah. No, I love that.
Yes, you have to wear the hat.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, and birthdays can be strange here sometimes, like, especially for dorm students.
Yes.
And even staff. Like, I remember my first birthday here, I was like, you know, and birthdays obviously are very different for each person on how much they do with it. But, I love birthdays in the dorm. That was definitely one of my favorite things every week was celebrating the birthdays, so... Does anything come to mind classroom-wise?
Did you do debates?
Debates,
yeah. Or were they gone by the time you were in my class?
You know what? My wife will tell you I have such a terrible memory.
Okay.
Things run together. I might have.
Okay, because there used to be, like in junior year, there was, like the whole last quarter was debates. It was a pretty big deal. Like they had, they take their teams, pick the topics. That was always fun to watch students who were really scared of public speaking.
Yeah.
And just watching them prepare, and that was fun. Yeah. And then, like, putting it on in the – they would go to the auditorium or the upper room in those days.
Okay.
And do it in front of a large group and stuff. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, you've also seen so many building changes. Because so Project Nehemiah happened while you were here, where the auditorium and gym were added?
Yep.
Okay.
And then, project.
What are the other ones?
What do we call the one?
The JB?
Renewal.
Renewal.
Yeah, Renewal. I was
JB.
Here for that one.
Yep.
Taught with the jackhammers and stuff going on. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That was a hard year.
And then middle school got added on in.
And Zitzenkirch was closed.
Yeah. Yep. 2017
ish. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. And obviously dorms coming and going. But from what it sounds like, BFA still keeps trekking away.
I know when I was coaching basketball, we didn't have the gym, so we'd have to drive to gyms. Like, we would go to Martzell sometimes,
okay,
or we had to play on Kent's court. Okay. And so, like, I can still remember, like, it's snowing out, and we're shoveling it off. That's like, okay, here, warm up is.
Winter.
Shovel off the court. And then we'd play. But we were playing in the German league.
Oh.
And so it wasn't, same like, rules, we'd probably. Had to play all year because it was a Verein.
Oh.
If we got three games in that time, we were lucky.
Oh.
And so it was really, it's kind of like, why are we practicing? I don't know, but just keep going.
Wow.
That's better that we're in the Dodea teams now.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I am really
shorter season, more games.
Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking of Ken's court, and I was thinking about this yesterday with Julie Peck, and I were staying out there after girls had a little scrimmage before as we're getting ready for the season, and we redid the floors, you know, a year or two ago.
Right.
And it just, we were both saying just how much we love what it looks like now and that it's so versatile.
Yes.
But it's just funny to think that, like, the space has been used for years and years and years in so many soccer, basketball, middle school, like so many different areas.
Penny fair, stuff like they used to have like a big, so the juniors had to raise all their money for junior senior banquet in one activity.
Oh,
and they called it penny fair. And then like you had to, so like carnival booths and food and stuff like that.
Okay.
And they would use that for like the dunk tank and things
like
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, we cheered the year that they got rid of penny fair. That was like a... Like, you do that plus plan JSB plus.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was a bad year.
Oh, because it was in the same, like, it was in their junior year. Oh, gosh, yeah. We have a better system now.
Yeah.
We used to have candlelight dinner, too.
Yes.
That was another big event.
Yeah, that was a big thing. Yeah,
I've heard about it. That's neat.
I know there's going to be alumni listening when they see Jill Young's name pop up on our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just remind all of us this whole cow concept? I know this.
I was gonna say I'd love to know, but I didn't know if it was secret or not.
I saw confusion in your face.
Yeah. I was like, this, because some traditions here, like
it's
Mr.
Super,
Elkins,
it's super
box,
simple, but I'll let
it's not a thing.
So we it's how we learn how to talk about metaphors.
Okay.
So like there's a concept that I will understand, and I want you to understand. I mean, use something that we both understand, but you don't understand cows. So that cows are habitual, and they always ask me, are we gonna have a seating chart? I said, I don't need a seating chart because you are cows. And then then we talk about, like, okay, here's how the behavior to cows.
Place.
My grandfather
was
a dairy farmer. But then they spend all year trying to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm not going, I'm going to have a big upset on Monday because we're changing the semesters and my classes are mixing.
Oh.
And my barn is going to be like a mess because kids are coming in and going, this is my seat. And I'm going, that's your seat in the other class.
Yeah.
That's their seat in this class and they're not moving. So it's just this idea of a simple way of teaching metaphors.
Okay.
And comparisons.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And to also tell them, no, I don't need a seating chart. You're seniors. You can seat yourselves.
I think I was the back right of the classroom.
Oh my gosh, you still know. Which room?
It was the first room after those doors in the middle of the hallway in JB. What is that?
Is that where you still
are? Yeah, JB23. Like, I started out in where the HR office is now.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, that was my, and I think I was on the middle school floor at one time too.
Oh, that's interesting too. All the different
because we didn't use the Jansbau buildings. When I first got
gym.
Here, because they were
or whatever else it was.
Yeah. Because like my room that I'm in now was part of the upper room.
Okay.
Which was where we had church.
Yes.
So they divided it off
photos.
Into made classrooms out of it.
Okay.
So I'm really glad that we got new carpet finally because it was pretty bad.
I'm sure.
But.
And do you specifically enjoy teaching seniors? Is that kind of your sweet spot?
Yeah, I do. Okay, I love all the grade levels.
Sure.
I have freshmen for advisory, and they're a little bit too squirrely for me some days.
Sure.
But I love talking about life, and that works better with seniors as far as literature is concerned, and juniors.
Yeah.
But even like these ideas of preparing to send them off.
Yeah.
And so I just love those aspects.
It seems like,
grade
that's
12.
Important to you. What would you say right now to our graduating class, so our current seniors, what would be... just a little bit of Miss Young tidbit advice that you would love for them to know.
Ooh, that's a big question.
That.
I would just say, like, I think it's going back to this concept of doubt and like actually being able to know what you believe. I think it's really hard sometimes for our kids. It's very hard sometimes to hear some of the alumni surveys coming back. It's like, it hurts my heart.
Yeah.
To hear students who are struggling. And like, I think I really want our students to investigate their own faith while they're here. And I want us to be able to let them do that. And I think it's really hard for them. because I had a student even recently write about just a disappointment of the frustration of not being a Christian in this environment and not being understood, or being they feel like they're treated like a lesser person. And so I always want to say, like, when you walk in my classroom, you're my student,
yep.
and my heart is for you, and I want you to do your best. So I want them to be, understand their faith before they go, whether whatever that faith is, so they can stand strong. And how do you build networks when you leave here, so that you can be successful?
Mm-hmm. So then, as someone who has served in a faith-based place for decades, what do you know about God, I would say, today, the day we're recording in January of 2024, that you didn't know? We'll say before you came, even though I know, obviously, he's probably done so much work and growth in your time here.
Yeah, I think I come from a very strong but very conservative church background. And I came with a lot of preconceived ideas. Not saying that what I was taught was wrong, but I grew up in a small farming town, and I didn't travel until I came here.
Oh, wow.
And so God has shown me that his people are so much more than just one cookie cutter. And I love the fact that we are interdenominational here, and that we have this freedom to ask questions and explore. So I think I've learned that God is so much bigger than what I thought he was before. It's not just about doing things or, like, you know, checking things off your box. I've seen some amazing miracles since I've been here. I've seen, like, these campaigns where when we're raising the money for these projects, sometimes just blows my mind where the money comes from, or, you know, dealing with sorrow and pain here in a different type of community has been really interesting, and it's grown my faith a lot. I've had some very dark days here too, because I didn't have a worldview crisis until I came to BFA. Like, I didn't need a worldview crisis growing up in my safe church. And when I came here, there were a lot of questions about God that I had never felt I could ask, because I had an answer for it. And so it's been interesting to grow those ideas as I've been here.
Well, thanks for sharing. I know that's definitely personal, and it comes out even as you were saying what you want the students to know. It sounds like that's what God's taught you, and I love how he does that. He does use our stories to bring passion and to bring his truth into the people we interact with.
Well, Jill, thank you so much for giving us your time, for sharing this time together, but also sharing your life with the students over 30 plus years.
Loved it.
Serving at BFA. We're very grateful for you.
I also thank you, those listening, it is finals week. So Jill is taking time out of her week of grading and facilitating finals to hang out with us. So we're really thankful for that.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
We are thankful for Jill's 30 plus years of working here at BFA and the many other staff members who make this place run and show these students love and also teach them. We will post today photos of Jill and even a video of her throughout the years to kind of bring some visuals to this conversation and just really display that longevity. Again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is made possible by the generous supporters all around the world who enable each staff member to serve here. If you want to learn more, please visit our website at bfacademy.de or follow along on Instagram and Facebook at Black Forest Academy. You can find links in the description of this episode.
The BFA Life podcast is brought to you by BFA Communications, and the music is provided by Emma Worthy, class of 2020.
We hope that through this podcast you've received a glimpse into what God is doing through our families, staff, and students as they influence their world for Christ.